I don't know if y'all know this or not, but the Braves are in the World Series. They owe me a great debt of gratitude because I've only watched two games of the playoffs, and both games they lost. So I have boycotted watching the Braves through this whole thing. I don't even check the score until it's over, and they're winning. Thank you, Braves. You should thank me for that. Anyway, I'm sorry. I know it's a sports thing. It's really not relevant here, but I just want to say that. John chapter 2 and verse 1. Are y'all ready to hear a word? Are you ready to receive one? Does anybody need one? Me too. I'm going to preach a lot of information in 12 verses. I hope some of it sticks on the sticky side of your brain. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is going to be a weird prayer, and I'm sorry. This is how my mind thinks sometimes. Lord, thank you for this food. Bless it and nourish it to our body and our body to your service. In Jesus' name, amen. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. Mary was at a wedding. Mary was at a house party at a wedding. So y'all got to realize this. Back in the day, back in Jewish times, back in that time, they threw a week-long, two-week-long, three-week-long, maybe even a month party for a bride and a groom. It was a big deal. It was a big deal for both families. It was a big deal for everybody. Marriage was big. It was huge. I wish marriage would become big and huge again in our country and in our world. It was such a big event. When we get to heaven, I want you to know this, when we get to heaven, it's going to be called the marriage supper. The first, God, y'all ain't going to believe this. We can't even wrap our minds around this. The first 1,000 years. Golly, man, y'all don't get excited about stuff like that. Some of y'all couldn't party till 10 p.m. Amen? Some of y'all couldn't make it tonight like 10:30. Right? I'm going to party all night. 11 o'clock, like, man, I'm getting grumpy. Right? 1,000 years. Right? 1,000 years. That's the wedding feast. And we're sitting there with the bridegroom and the bride sitting there. And both of them are saying, praise my God. We've been waiting this forever. Amen? For 1,000 years. But I like how Mary, I preach this differently. As you get older, as you age as a Christian, you start to see things a little bit differently. I used to say, when Mary was there at the wedding, I wonder if she kind of thought, man, I wished I had a big wedding. Right? Jesus kind of interrupted her stuff, amen? He kind of intervened in her big plans of marriage. If y'all don't know that, y'all just go back and read Luke chapter 1 and 2. Mary got pregnant by the Holy Ghost, and it ruined the wedding. But what a marriage it is. So I preach this different now. There's Mary at the wedding. And she starts looking around. She's like, man, y'all got a fine array of things going on. Beautiful tents, beautiful clothes, wonderful venue. Amen? Great preacher, great music. Man, the bridegroom, pretty good. The bride, whew, astonishing. Have y'all ever been to those weddings where the bride comes out, where she comes out last? And all of a sudden, like, whew, they open the door, or she steps out. Come on, man, help me out. You know, act like you're alive this morning. Everybody goes, whew, wow. Mary seen all that and was like, have you ever been somewhere and start doing something and you kind of look around going, y'all are missing something. Y'all got all the outward stuff. Y'all are missing the goods. Y'all don't have Jesus in it. You can get married. You could have a shotgun wedding. You can get married in a helicopter. You can run off and get married on the weekend. You can run down to the courthouse and get married. Some of you brides are going, you better, ain't nudging that dude beside him, going, you better not even think about it. But let me tell you this, if Jesus is in it, that will be a wonderful marriage. And if that big, beautiful ceremony that you have has Jesus in it, it'll be a wonderful marriage. But you can have all the trappings and not have Jesus, and you've got a mess on your hands. And Mary just kind of looked around and said, y'all are missing something. I don't really talk. Mary's like, I really don't talk about my marriage much. I really don't talk about how we got together. I don't talk about what the circumstance was. But I do have Jesus with me. Is there anybody in here married that marriage ain't easy and ain't perfect and the story ain't a storybook tale? Man, but Jesus has been riding along with you the whole way through. And praise God, if you could tell that story, it's an amazing story. Amen. But Jesus. So Mary's kind of looking around and going, I'm preaching better than y'all. Hey, you got Jesus at the place, but you don't have Jesus in the marriage. I love this. And both Jesus was called and the disciples to the marriage. The disciples were, they came along to learn. Some things you go to, you're learning. Don't think every time somebody, God takes you somewhere, don't always go, oh, man, I don't want to go, I don't want to do it, I have a bad attitude. Man, go somewhere with your eyes open, your heart open, your mind open. If you're able to learn, you're able to do. Amen? If you're able to learn, you can do stuff no matter how old or how young you are, if you're willing to learn. Them disciples were like, man, why are we at a wedding? Jeez, what? Hey, gee, we ain't done that. We're just following you. Do you know Jesus really hadn't done anything up to this point? They're just following him, and all of a sudden they're at a wedding, and I bet some of them were like, man, I don't even know who the bridegroom is. I don't even know who the bride is. I don't know why aren't we here? And Jesus was there. Somebody invited Jesus. Some of y'all need to invite Jesus not only to the marriage, but to the dating. Amen. Some of y'all are dating guys and dating girls. I'll usually refer to it as a guy because I'm a girl. No, I'm a guy, so let me get that right. Eric left on that one. Sorry, Eric. I'll refer to it as the guy's point of view because I am a guy. Whew, that hurt. Sorry. Keith, don't hold that against me, all right? Watch this right here. You could be wealthy and spiritually bankrupt. You could be worldly wise and have no wisdom of God. You can look so good on the outside, and people can talk about it and say, man, he's handsome, or she's beautiful. But on the inside, be full of dead bones, death on the inside. Amen? You can be powerful. Some of y'all are going to marry people that are powerful. They're strong, but they ain't got no power with God. I don't really care. I don't really care what they can do in their own strength. What I like, some of y'all might like, you know what I like? I like the fact that if something's going on, my wife can pray. You know what I like? When all is failed and I can't do anything and I really don't know what's going on and I have said out of my mouth, don't worry, we got this. But in my mind and my heart, men, we know that we're panicking. I can go somewhere and God say, God, help me, help my family. And I can know that I can rest in the assurance that he's going to take care of it. That's getting Jesus. Some of y'all are sitting here going right now, but I've been married for 15 years. I've been married for 10 years, and I don't really have that. So I guess we just kind of give up, right? As a pastor, I've kind of learned some things since I've been a pastor. I didn't know some things when I first came in. I was pretty, let me say it this way. Let me say it lightly and politely. I was terrible at marriage counseling. Whew. Y'all didn't say anything, so you must agree. All right. But then I read in Malachi chapter 2, verse 16, it says, God hates divorce. Did you know that? Some of y'all taking that lightly. You come in and say, well, it just ain't working out, so God's probably going to give me somebody else, or God wants me to have somebody else, or God made me look for somebody else. Maybe God is wanting me to have this other man's wife, or maybe God wants me to have this other person's husband. Let me tell you this, God will never, ever, ever give you somebody else's spouse, period. Whoo! So let me tell you this, if God hates divorce, you know what you got to do? If you're already married and the marriage is beginning to wobble, you have to make your marriage your ministry. Did you know that? Do you know the first marriage was a ministry? Jesus came down from heaven and became a man. If you don't think he changed for his bride, you're crazy. He stepped out of heaven and took off his righteousness and became dirt like us and walked among us and dealt with us that we could be saved. He ultimately died on a cross for our sins and rose again the third day. He died for us. So guess what? He changed everything for his bride. Some of you men in here need to change everything for your bride. Woo! Become the minister. Love her as Christ loved the church and died for it. Some of y'all need to start listening to your wives, loving your wives, forgiving your wives, not wanting to be right all the time, but be a part, be her shield, her covering. And wives, guess what? And they submitted, and they loved, and she came up under him. And guess what? The church has to change too. Guess what? We have to what? We have to accept who he is. He is the leader. He is the one. He is the spiritual leader God has given me. And if he's following God, I will get underneath his leadership. You know what that means? You can't down him out in public. Got to praise him. If you got stuff to work on it at home. Amen? Work on it with him one-on-one. But you know what? God, the word says this, God inhabits the praise of his people. It says God gets bigger when you praise him. Ain't that funny? It's just like us guys. Amen? Just try this. I dare you. Just brag on him when he takes the trash out. I know it's not the biggest event in the world. Just brag on him. Amen. If he does anything, if he empties the dishwasher or puts dishes in the dishwasher or washes the dishes, just do this. Go, I have never seen anybody clean like you're cleaning. I've never seen anybody do what you mean. You are amazing at this. You know what? You will get an extra shine. You'll get an extra coat. And you might get one more trip of him doing it again. I don't know, but I'm just saying. That's iffy. But your marriage better become your ministry. A lot of people don't think of it like that. We think in ministry, we think we got to reach somebody way off in some grand fashion. But you know what? We're losing our children. We're losing our homes. We're losing our country. We're losing everything because guess what? The home is the number one problem in our world. There's not a father who seeks the Lord. There's not a mother who seeks the Lord and will follow. And there's not kids seeing that implemented and tried out in their homes and then duplicated. Because you know what? Most of the time I'll say, if you date somebody, watch their mother and father. Because guess what? If they didn't have a great example at home, it's going to be hard for them to look at it and see how to do it. It's not impossible. It's just hard. Are y'all learning this morning? Is there anybody in here learning? Praise God, if you're sitting here this morning and you're not married, but you're dating somebody, you should have been taking great notes. You should at least take mental notes or go back and watch it because some of y'all are going to mess up and marry somebody. You don't even know if they love Jesus. You want a wrecked up marriage? Marry somebody that don't love Jesus. Because the looks will fade, the money will fade, the strength will fade, but God never fades. Whew, never mind. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, they have no wine. I love this. You got to do this two things, Holy Spirit and joy. Holy Spirit and happiness, amen, joy, all right? They were running out of wine. They needed good wine. They needed new wine. And all of a sudden, they went to Jesus and said, hey, they're running out of wine. Yeah, I love this. I love the prayer. I love the example. She just goes to him. First miracle that's ever been worked. First thing that's ever been happened. She just makes a sense. She just lets him know, hey, there's a problem here. This marriage is not going well, and we need to get you involved in it. This whole marriage ceremony is not the same without you. You need to jump in. Well, where do I fit in? All this stuff, you know, whatever. How does Jesus fit in my marriage? If you don't have Jesus in your marriage, Jesus in your life, he fits in great. You know what? He's the piece that's been missing in your whole life. Watch this right here. Jesus said to her, woman. God, can you believe that he said, woman? You know what he's doing right there? Don't take it as a slight. Don't take it as him being mean. What he's doing, he's changing the relationship. She was his mama, but she needed a Savior too. Amen? She was his mama, but he was letting her know, listen, I know who you are, but I'm God, and I'm God alone. Amen? I'm God, and I'm your God too, so let me put you in the place where you belong. You're just a woman. You're no. Listen, there are no big I's and little U's in Christ Jesus. Everybody's equal. Everybody's the same. Mary is the same as anybody else. She's a woman who is faithful to God, and guess what? When she made a prayer, he let her know, it's not because you're your mama, not because you're my mama, it's because you have faith to ask. Woo, glory. Help me preach. What I have to do with thee, mine hour is not yet come. He said this four other times in this gospel. He said that. What he was saying is, this is a miracle to show that I am God. I'm telling you, my time has not yet come. When my time has come, I will put myself on the cross. I will die for your sins, and I will be resurrected. It's not my time to do that. It's my time to show you that I'm God. Woo, man, are y'all having a time of life? I'm having the time of my life right here. What's that? He said, look, it's not my time yet. You know what? Everybody in heaven knew there was a time coming, and every devil in hell knows there's a time. And there's still a time coming. It's the second coming of Christ. His mother saith unto him, unto his servants, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Woo, praise God, hallelujah. She made one request, got one answer that didn't even sound like he said yes, but then she turns to the servants and said, do whatever he tells you to do, just do it. Can I give you some simple advice with somebody that's been in ministry almost 20 years? Almost. I've been preaching a lot. I've seen a lot of things. Can I tell you this simple little thing right here? If Jesus tells you to do something, do it. I don't care if it wrecks everything else in your life. I don't care if it wrecks every relationship, every job, if you think that that's a total, this is how it usually, Gary, this is usually how it works. It will look like it will not succeed whatsoever. 99% of the time when God has come to me and said, here you go, Kevin, here's a plan. I look at it and go, that's insane. But it's you. If it was anybody else, I'd say no thank you. But since it's you, I'll say, yes, sir. I'll say, yes, sir. Where you lead, I will follow. Amen? It looks crazy. Mary just told you there. It looked crazy when the angel came and said, you're going to birth a child from the Holy Spirit. Did you know I'm engaged? Y'all know better than that anyway. It really didn't matter about the engagement at all. You know what it really mattered the most about? Her mama, her daddy, and the people she lived in town with. Y'all are so spiritual. If something crazy happens in your life, the first thing you think of is, what's my family going to think about this? The next thing you know, what are the people I live around going to think about this? They're going to think I'm nuts. Amen? But what you got to get an understanding is, if it's working on the inside, it doesn't really matter on the outside will come along. If Jesus is on the inside, the outside will take care of itself. See, Mary, her whole life got the first response from the person she was engaged to, amen, he looked at her and said, the marriage is off. Joseph said, it's over. I bet she thought, but God, this was the one. I prayed about this guy. He loves me and I love him. God, I wish I could preach. I wish somebody y'all would just listen. I mean, just really open your heart and let me preach right here. God, this is messing up my day in life. This is really messing up who I'm seeing right now. God says, do you trust me? Because you got the right one. You got the right one. He just has to be tested. Whew. Some of y'all could find out really quickly if somebody's for you or they just for what you could give them. Real quick. You know that? All you would have to do is say, but there's a circumstance. that you're going to have to go through that's not ideal. Joseph went away for a moment. Don't be sad when everybody walks away from a moment, because everybody has to gather their thoughts. Joseph went somewhere and got along with God and was probably praying on, God, I thought, let me preach it this way. I'm a guy. I thought this was the one. Mary seemed special. She seemed spiritual. There was something about her that was different than all the other girls. And then when he fell asleep, God visited him and said, don't put her away. Connect to her. What she's carrying is better in your life and her life and the life of the world. Go ahead, marry her. You don't think that's a hard deal? Man, I've read the Bible from cover to cover. I've read every person, every character in the Bible. I've read every ministry. Outside of Jesus Christ, Joseph's ministry is harder than any other man in that book. Go ahead, sign up. Stepdad to Jesus. How do I even punish him? Will I ever have to? How do I teach Jesus anything? Man, God, I wish y'all, just somebody just go, yeah, I'm listening. How am I going to teach God something? I'm a simple carpenter. All I can show him is nails and wood and hammers. And Jesus said, I'm paying attention, Daddy. I'll take them same nails, that same wood, and a hammer and build a bridge from here to heaven with it. So it was convenient that I was in the house of a carpenter. Thank you. I did learn something from you. I think about that all the time. He is God. Could you imagine when he'd get older, every time the nails were driven through the wood, he would remind himself, in just a few years, I'm going to the cross. In just a few years, I'll be there. Hey, Jesus, if you don't mind, will you run over and get me a couple pieces of wood? Yes, Joseph. Hey, run over there and get me a couple nails. No, matter of fact, get me three. Okay. Hey, could you get me that hammer? Yeah, I'll get it. I love you, Daddy. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for taking up the opportunity to lead me. See, you don't have to be a perfect parent. You just have to be present. You just have to be there. Amen? Just do it. And there were set 6 water pots of stone after the manner of purifying of the Jews, containing 2 or 3 firkins apiece. It's kind of neat what Jesus is doing. He's taking the old custom of washing and he's replacing it with wine, and it's a representation of we can clean ourselves on the outside pretty good, but guess what? The wine represents the Holy Spirit. He's going to do a job on the inside of us. It's almost like baptism and baptism of the Spirit. We can get clean from the outside with the water, but guess what does the real cleaning? It's the Holy Spirit. It's a better thing. Amen? But I love the water pots. I love it. It's my favorite thing because in this story, because it's 6, and 6 is the number of human beings, number of man. And guess what? They're over there, and they're all used for something, for washing and cleaning, not from drinking out of. Their purpose is totally different than what God sees their purpose as. What I'm saying is, you see your purpose on this earth as one thing. God sees it as a total other thing. Amen? You thought it was about filling yourself up with the world. And it's talking about filling it up with God. Amen. And all of a sudden, those water pots over there, it says they're like 20 to 30 gallons. And I kind of roughly cut it off at 130 gallons of water. Amen. If you do the math on it, it's like 25 gallons per thing or 20 gallons. So I said 130 would be nice. 130 gallons of water. Go get the 6 water pots and fill them up with water. Go fill up 130 gallons. So when I thought about that, I want you to hear this. Working with God is a process. Sweat, obedience, sacrifice, time, and everybody else while you're doing it will think you're nuts. Everybody else while you're serving God will be critical. They will overjudge, especially if they're not doing it. They will sit there and go, that's a waste of life. That's a waste of time. Amen? You're wasting. I got this the whole first 10 years of my ministry on a regular basis. Kevin, you are wasting your time serving God. And then God finally, one day, out of the blue, and the Holy Spirit spoke into my heart and said, don't worry when they say that, Kevin. You're going to live for an eternity. You got time in abundance. You're never going to run out of it. Amen? The only time you're going to, one day you're going to run out of time here, but then you're going to step off into eternity, and don't worry about time. I got you. Amen? So don't worry about me if I'm wasting my time or I'm burning it up doing this or I'm burning it up doing that. Guess what? When I die, praise God, I'm going to stand in eternity and time don't matter. And if you're saved, that don't matter for you either. You haven't wasted your life. Everything, when we stand before God, we're going to be sitting there wishing we had spent more time serving God than whatever else we've done. Jesus, I love this right here. Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water, and they filled them to the brim. Boy, they filled them to the brim, all 130 gallons. Man, they're filling these water pots. And it don't say just fill them with the water, amen? And Jesus said to them, fill them with water, and they filled them to the brim. And he said unto them, draw out now and bear unto the governor of the feast, and they bear it. I love this because it never says when the water changed. It never says the water changed from here or here. I guarantee you, most of the people working on it were still seeing water. Moving those pots. Moving them up there to where everybody could get some of them. You know, hey, what are y'all doing? What are y'all doing? Hey, what y'all do? We just poured water in there. What's in there? It's water. What y'all doing? The water. What are y'all doing? Why are y'all going to the governor of the feast? Why are you going to the person who's over charge of giving people something to drink? They're out of the good stuff, and you're going to give them water? I don't know if y'all got what I'm preaching right there, but it took me a while to realize how much I had changed in Christ Jesus. August 28th of 04 was a start, but 5 years later and 10 years later and 15 years later, I didn't know how much I had changed because I kept looking and thinking, man, it's just me. Look in the mirror, I look the same, talk the same, sound the same, worked in some of the same places, done some of the same things. I was like, really ain't much change. It's just water. I just had an experience. I got obedient. I done what God told me to do, and there was just a water thing. It was just, I just got baptized. I just said, I met him. I didn't know there was any, no, come on. Everybody in here, you got to have that experience. Like, I don't even know. But then somebody says, I hate using Peyton and illustrations when I'm preaching, but I have to. I'm sorry. Peyton was about 6 months old when I got saved. Amen. I remember one day I was riding with a guy at the camp and we're riding down the road and he was talking about using drugs and alcohol. And while I was talking about using drugs and alcohol and I was telling him about what I had done in my life and I could see him, he was in the back seat, his eyes, he was 10 and his eyes were about that big. I forgot he had radar disc, he's listening. I let the guy out, Peyton got up in the front seat and then we were riding back down the house and he goes, Dad! And I went, what? He goes, you done drugs? I was like, yeah. You drank alcohol? Yeah. You did? Now I looked at him, I remember him a minute. He's 10. The water turned into wine. The water had turned into wine. The water had turned into wine, and I didn't know it. What he had been drinking from was wine, not water. It had been 10 years that he didn't know anything about me as somebody who would lie, somebody who would steal, somebody who would drink, somebody who would use drugs. All he knew was a man who shared Jesus and was his dad and was present. Amen? Not perfect, just purchased. And I realized when we pulled in, he got out and he ran in the house. To me, it was a big deal because I was sitting there going, man, there's somebody on this earth that's been here for 10 years and they don't know me as anything but their dad and a godly man. They gave the man the water, the ruler of the feast, and he tasted the water, and it was made wine, and he knew not whence it was, but the servants which drew the water knew. Not everybody knows what the process was, but the ones who listened do. Where did you get this? How did this happen? there's a man down there. He asked me to do something, and somebody gave me some good advice, and they just said, do what he tells you to do. And I did. And now I'm starting to see some change. I'm starting to see some things come together. The governor of the feast called the bridegroom and saith unto him, every man at the beginning doth set forth the good wine, and when the men have well drunk, then they which are worse, but that thou hast kept the good wine until now. What was supposed to have been good was, God, y'all, just bear with me just for a few more seconds. Matter of fact, whoever's leading the altar call song, please come on. At one point in time in my life, a couple of places, I thought life was good. Hey, man, let me say it this way. I'm having a good time. Man, we're having so much fun. And then I got saved, and I went from the water to the wine. I went from lost to found. And all of a sudden I realized, man, you saved the best for last. Guys, I want you to hear that. God has saved the best life for you if you'll accept Him. Everything works out better with God. And when people get to experience you as born again, as saved and changed, they will say the same thing. Man, you saved the best for last. Usually people get the life, they get their best life over here in the front end, and they struggle through the back end. They catch the consequences of their sin. The bitterness, the loneliness, the struggle, the pain, the divorces, the children being lost. But once you get saved, guess what happens? Healing, forgiveness, love. Amen? Let's all stand. If you need some healing in your marriage today, come. If you need...